friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Psalm 99 says, "The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he." I just love that. That's Psalm 99, verses 1, 2, and 3. My, oh my, here we are this Thursday, May the 11th, 2017. That's right, friends. So good to spend some time with you. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. Joey Kroll here in the hot seat with you today. I'll tell you what, it's been a busy week, but I'm so grateful I can hit the pause button and spend some time with you today. Our fellowship each and every Thursday really does mean a lot to me. By the way, Sunday, just want to remind everyone, Sunday, of course, is Mother's Day. And right after church on Sunday, I'm going to book it up to Chicago and spend some time with my mom, maybe spend the night and spend some time with her for a little bit, take her out to dinner. I'm sure all the restaurants will be jam-packed on Sunday afternoon and Sunday night, and that's just going to be a fun experience. But, hey, if I'm going to be waiting in line, I'm going to be waiting with my mom and catch up with her. So that's that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. And just remember, too, if you can, those who may be struggling on Mother's Day, because this can be a day that not many mothers are looking forward to, not many children are looking forward to, because I know that there have been mothers who lost children. We know that there are children who lost their mothers for whatever reason or another. It can be a difficult day. So maybe you know somebody in that position. Send them a kind note, maybe a text message or a phone call, and let them know that you're thinking about them. Of course, Sunday is Mother's Day, and next month is the month of June. I mean, think about this. We're already 11 days in the month of May. June is right around the corner. We are less than a month away from the Ivan Parker concert coming up on Saturday night, June 10th at 7 p.m. Lincoln Square in Urbana. Ivan Parker coming with his son Josh Parker for a wonderful evening of music and worship and fellowship. The singing man of GNN will be there to bless the occasion, that's for sure. Open general seating is $10 when you pre-register at greatnewsradio.org or by calling 217-367-7777. If you come the night of, you can get a seat for $15, or you can take advantage of the $25 artist circle reserve seating. And that includes a meet and greet opportunity with Ivan Parker. So you can have some coffee with him. You can take your picture with him and maybe sign a couple of his CDs and whatnot for you. A great, great level right there. The $25 artist circle reserve seating, again, which includes that meet and greet reception with Ivan Parker. Do want to take advantage of that. Really encourage you to do so. You can get your tickets at greatnewsradio.org or, again, by calling our front office at 217-367-7777. Ivan Parker coming back Saturday, June 10th at 7 p.m. Well, coming up here in just a couple of moments, we're going to be talking about conflict. Conflict happens in relationships, even to the best relationships. Conflicts happen. It happens in the family. It happens in marriage. It even happens in the church, believe it or not. Yes. So conflict happens. We're going to be talking about conflict today. Matthew chapter 18, right after this, here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
There's a light that's shining inside of the sons and the daughters, the children of Christ. Raise it high for all the world to see. There's a promise
It won't be denied. He is coming, he's coming to capture his bride. He has paid our ransom and given us new life.
Thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends here at Great News Radio. It's Joey Kroll with you. A comedian said one time, my wife and I have agreed never to go to bed angry with one another. And so far, we've been up for 3 weeks straight. You know, it can be as simple as two people wanting to sit in the same pew, or as complex as a broken marriage conflict, friend, is all around us. No one is immune to it. Conflict comes knocking on everyone's door. Amen. Especially in marriages, especially in the church as well. So how do you deal with a believer who has sinned against you, one who has sinned specifically against you? Well, Jesus gave us precise instructions about how to handle a believer when they wrong you. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Matthew 18. We're going to look at verse 15, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, 16, and 17. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen, even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. It says that there needs to be a visitation. A visitation. You go see him. You lovingly visit and confront them. Look at verse 15. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. And how are we to visit them? Privately. We are to do it privately. I mean, if somebody sins against you, you don't tell another soul on earth. You go to the other person, just you and him. Verse 15 says, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. The NIV says, just between the two of you. The NLT says, go privately and point out the offense. The New American Standard says, go and show him his fault in private. The Bible says that you and I, when there's conflict with another brother, another sister, we are to go to the other person. It doesn't say go to Facebook and tell everybody on Facebook. No, it says we go to the other person. We don't go to another person to help brew in our disgust. We go to the person. We don't disguise our frustration with the other person in a form of a prayer request. Now, I know that's temptation for some of us. It says, the Bible says, if your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if we go to other people, we're just spreading the cancer, so to speak. Proverbs 16:28 says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. A little boy went to a birthday party, and his mother said, son, if you misbehave, I've asked Mrs. Jones to send you home, and you'll get a spanking right when you get home, right away, no questions asked. And he hadn't been gone for 10 minutes, and Mrs. Jones then came walking him back to the house. She snatched him up and spanked him and said, now, what did you do wrong now? He says, I didn't do anything wrong. That party's not till tomorrow. Sometimes we just assume things that are not true. And if we go to our brother or sister, we can get down to the facts on what happened for clarification. Now, that doesn't mean we need to be the sin police. It'd be wrong for anyone to take Jesus' words here as a command to confront your brother with every sin they commit against you. Some people need a little bit more grace than others, really. But there are times when things need to be addressed and clarified. So we are to confront lovingly. We are to visit him privately, and we are to visit him lovingly. We don't go there to tell them off. No, verse 15 says, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. We're there to gain our brother. You go to win him, not condemn him. That's the whole purpose. You go there to win him and not to condemn him. I mean, human nature says, well, I'm not doing that. Human nature says you give him what he deserves. Why do I, God, need to go over to them because they are the ones that wronged me? Why should I go over to them when they are the ones who are in the wrong? Well, Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another, it says, as Christ forgave you. Did God come and seek you out, friend? You bet he did. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. If our brother or sister sins against us, we don't have the luxury for waiting for them to come to us. We go to them. And the whole purpose of this is for reconciliation, restoration. We are to win them. We are to gain them. All right, so I can hear you. Okay. What if that doesn't work, brother? Well, let's look at what Jesus said in verse 16. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Now, why do you take one or two others along with you? Jesus provides the reason by quoting the Old Testament. Specifically, he mentions or quotes Deuteronomy 19:15. Which says, a single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrongdoing in connection with any offense that he's committed. Only on the evidence of two or of three witnesses shall a charge be established. Now, the Bible makes it clear that two or more are necessary to witness and to confirm something. Because you could be wrong and he could be right. They are to come not to witness against him, but to witness to him. Again, to try to win this individual back. Suppose that doesn't work. You've gone to him privately. You've gone to him humbly. You've gone to him lovingly. He won't hear you. You take some godly friends back with you. They confirm, yeah, he's weak. Try to confront him. He won't hear them. So what do you do other than go on anxiety medicine and anger management classes? What do you do? Verse 17, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Now, this does not mean while your pastor is preaching in the middle of a God anointing service, you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I have an announcement to make. That's not what it's saying. The matter is now brought to God's leadership there in the church. And this individual is confronted with spiritual leadership. Again, the desire is not to condemn them, not to expose them, but to reclaim them. And if that doesn't work, verse 17 says, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. In other words, treat them as an unbeliever. And friend, that is to be done at the very last resort. That's the last resort. Treat them as an unbeliever. I know that sounds harsh, but what do you do with an unbeliever, friend? I love what I think it was Adrian Rogers who quoted this. He says, well, what do you do with an unbeliever? You love them and try to win them to Christ. It doesn't mean we're not concerned about the individual. We love them and try to win them to Christ. And Adrian Rogers went on to say, but we do not let them poison the fellowship. And ultimately, friend, our desire is for that relationship, to be restored so we can gain our brother, so we can win our brother. We are to go to them privately. We are to go to them lovingly and talk it out. Friend, maybe you have somebody today and this week that maybe you need to call and seek out and resolve a conflict. God's word gives us the instructions in Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 15.
Sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way lonely and still can fill with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, and live. With your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye, then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, and live. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus
and live. Yeah, that's right. Come to Jesus. That's Chris Rice and the Untitled Hymn. Well, I appreciate your time and your attention today here on this Thursday, this 11th day of May 2017. It's Joey Kroll with you. You can always drop me a note. I love hearing from you. If you got a question, comment, prayer request, maybe a song request, or you just want to say hey, I'd love to hear from you. It's Joey at greatnewsradio.org, J-O-E-Y at greatnewsradio.org. Well, Mark and Jason in the studio tomorrow to help you celebrate your Friday. Praise the Lord. That's for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, 7:32 a.m. Central Time tomorrow morning. Until next time, friend, just remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, and happy Mother's Day.